news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It wasn't so much a debate Tuesday night in South Carolina as it was a giant clusterfuck. CBS proved that not every network is deserving of a presidential debate. This one might have been the worst yet. The New York Times writing, quote, "The forum plunged repeatedly into an unsightly spectacle of flailing hands and raised voices and even outright chaos, with candidates talking over one another and the moderator struggling and failing at times to direct an orderly argument." My correction. The moderators never even tried to direct an orderly argument. They simply watched the clock and tried to cut off the candidates who clearly didn't worry about following simple rules without considering the substance of what was being discussed. The first mention of the coronavirus came more than 80 minutes into the two-hour-long debate, and not a single question was asked about climate change. But Michael Bloomberg obviously followed someone's advice to show his sense of humor.
Let me also say, because since I have the floor for a second, that I really am surprised that all of these, my fellow contestants up here, I guess would be the right word for it, given nobody pays attention to the clock, I'm surprised they show up, because I would have thought after I did such a good job in beating them last week that they'd be a little bit afraid to do that. I think what's right for New York City isn't necessarily right for all the other cities. Otherwise, you'd have a naked cowboy in every city. So let's get serious here.
And, of course, the vitriol was mostly focused on the front runner, Bernie Sanders.
I like Bernie. We came in together to the Senate. But I do not think that this is the best person to lead the ticket.
Bernie Sanders' analysis is right. The difference is I don't like his solutions.
Bernie and I both want to see universal health care, but Bernie's plan doesn't explain how to get there.
Vladimir Putin thinks that Donald Trump should be president of the United States, and that's why Russia is helping you get elected, so you'll lose to him.
Bernie Sanders, thankfully, pushed back.
Hey, Mr. Putin, if I'm president of the United States, trust me, you're not going to interfere in any more American elections. And if you want to beat Trump, what you're going to need is an unprecedented grassroots movement of black and white and Latino, Native American and Asian people who are standing up and fighting for justice.
Can anybody in this room imagine moderate Republicans going over and voting for him? And
absolutely.
You have to do that or you can't win.
What we need to do is to do what every other major country on earth does, guarantee health care to all people. Occasionally, it might be good idea to be honest about American foreign policy. And when dictatorships, whether it is the Chinese or the Cubans, do something good, you acknowledge that.
Okay. This man said that, in fact, he thought it was, he did not condemn what
they
did.
That is untrue, categorically untrue.
What did you tell him?
I have condemned authoritarianism, whether it is the people in Saudi Arabia that the United States government has loved for years, Cuba, Nicaragua. Authoritarianism of any stripe is bad.
By the way, you wouldn't be alone if you noticed the cheering section for Michael Bloomberg and Joe Biden and the boos aimed at Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. So it might not surprise you that we've now learned that tickets to this debate were sold to sponsors for between $1,750 to $3,200 each. Not very democratic of the Democratic Party. The next Democratic face-off among candidates is scheduled for March 15th in Phoenix. It'll take place 2 days before the Arizona primary and the Florida primary as well, and will be broadcast by CNN and Univision beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. By that time, 24 states and many territories will have already weighed in. So the coronavirus is undoubtedly the biggest story across the globe, but Donald Trump is lying to the American people about it.
The coronavirus, which is very well under control in our country, we have very few people with it. The people are getting better. They're all getting better. I think that whole situation will start working out. A lot of talent, a lot of brain power is being put behind it. $2.5 billion we're putting in. Is a very good chance you're not going to die. Now they have it. They have studied it. They know very much. In fact, we're very close to a vaccine.
On Wednesday morning, Trump continued his disinformation campaign, blaming the media and Democrats for overstating the danger of the disease, even as health experts warned of its spread. White House Chief Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow, the same guy who advised everyone to buy stocks in September 2008 as the crash was about to happen, doubled down on the misinformation.
We have contained this. We have contained this. I won't say airtight, but pretty close to airtight. We've done a good job in the United States. Hats off to our public health people.
And while he was speaking, the Dow was tanking. It's down over 1,900 points in just 2 days. And notably, Kudlow made that claim after a top infectious disease expert at the CDC, Dr. Nancy Messonnier, director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, warned of an inevitable outbreak here.
Ultimately, we expect we will see community spread in this country. It's not so much a question of if this will happen anymore, but rather more of a question of exactly when this will happen and how many people in this country will have severe illness.
U.S. cases have risen to 57, while a U.S. soldier stationed in South Korea also tested positive for the virus. Organizers of the Tokyo Olympics, set to open in 3 months, say they can wait until late May to decide the fate of the Summer Games. The Olympic Games have never before been canceled, but Japan has reported 170 cases of the virus and one death. Thankfully, we still have a semi-functioning Congress, for now anyway, more on that in a moment, and the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee held a hearing on Tuesday at which the Republican, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, questioned an uninformed and ill-prepared acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf.
Right, you're head of Homeland Security. Do we have enough respirators or not?
For patients? I don't understand the question.
For everybody, every American who needs one who gets the disease.
Again, I would refer you to HHS on that.
Mr. Secretary,
my budget supports,
you're supposed to keep us safe.
My budget supports the men and women
you're
of the Department
Secretary
of Homeland Security.
You're the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Yes, sir.
And you can't tell me if we have enough respirators.
For the entire American public?
Yes.
No, I would say probably not.
Okay, how short are we?
I don't have that number offhand, Senator. I will get that for you.
Okay. But I want to be sure I understand. Somebody.
Yes, sir.
Is doing modeling.
Yes, sir.
On how many cases were anticipated.
Yes, sir.
Just not aware of that.
You're asking me a number of medical questions that
I'm asking
CDC
you questions
and HHS
because you're Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, and you're supposed to keep us safe.
Yes, sir.
And you need to know the answers to these questions.
Wolf didn't know how many cases DHS or CDC or Health and Human Services were estimating. He also echoed Trump's claim that we're close to a vaccine. Kennedy then questioned Director of Health and Human Services Alex Azar about that.
The Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, which is charged with keeping us safe, just testified about 10 minutes ago, a month and a half. Which is it?
One could not develop a vaccine in a month and a half. That's never happened in human history.
Maybe you ought to talk to the Secretary of Homeland Security before he spreads that too far.
And finally, as for that statement that we still have a semi-functioning Congress, a group of 70 former U.S. senators, including 18 Republicans, penned an op-ed for the Washington Post suggesting the creation of a bipartisan caucus of incumbent senators who would be committed to making the Senate function as the framers of the Constitution intended, saying the legislative process is no longer working in the Senate. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. While you're there, please click on that donate button.